In the brief moment we have here at the end of our hour, we will see again from the Apostle Paul that everything that has been talked about in the last hour is indeed the essence of the gospel, that Christ is all we need. He is the pearl of great price. He is the treasure of the God besotted. He is the very essence of life. Here Paul in chapter 3 and verse 3 would write, "For we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God, and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh." Our beloved friends embody the essence of this truth. We glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in human stature, human ability, human minds, anything in ourselves. To illustrate this as quickly and simply as I can, and Mrs. Smithers was most right that the gospel is simple. It is either all of Christ or it is not. It is all of who he is and all of what he has done, or it is not, for there is no other gospel. So I'm going to borrow a parable of sorts I showed you over a year ago, but we've tweaked it just a little. So I need all of my bank robber friends, wherever you are, you come on up. And I've got a really big bank robber friend. So all my bank robber friends, they're going to stand right over there. These are bank robbers. They were born to be bank robbers. They love to be bank robbers. It is what they do. It is who they are. From the top of their head to the sole of their feet, these are bank robbers. Don't they look like bank robbers? So all they know to do is rob banks. And so for days they have been plotting to rob from that bank over there. They have schemed, they have drawn their maps, they have their getaway plan. They know just where all the guards are. They know where the safe is. They have their plan to get into it and take all of their money and rob the bank. So on the appointed day, they have gathered, they have set their last plan, and they are about ready to race off and rob the bank. Not yet. But bank robbers always have great bank robber hats. There you go, Dave. So being the chief bank robber of all bank robbers, he gets to wear the bank robber hat. He is the biggest and baddest and meanest of all the bank robbers. Now you know why I wanted David to come here. He is a great sermon illustration. And so on the appointed day, they go off to rob the bank. And so they race off to run the bank, rob the bank. Go, guys. But one of the bank robbers is stopped and driven back.
No.
And he is stopped from robbing the bank. No, you can't rob the bank. You will not be a bank robber, even though you want to be the bank robber. And you are a bank robber. You cannot rob the bank. Today, you will stop being a bank robber. You will give up your bank robber hat for a righteous hat.
Oh. Thank you so much.
S standing for state, which is synonymous with sanctified and saint. He gets a new hat.
I am hurting here.
And his hair hurts. And he will never be a bank robber again. Even though that's who he is, and that's what he wants to be. Thanks, Dave.
You're welcome.
I owe you lunch.
Thanks, Dave.
That is what God does to every person who puts their trust in Christ. Because Romans chapter 3 will teach us there is none righteous, no, not one. None would ever seek after God on their own. John chapter 8, Jesus speaking, we are all slaves of sin. Those who sin are slaves of it, and that is what they can do and must do and want to do. And unless God in His grace does something, no man will ever be justified in his own flesh and by his own ability. That's exactly what happened to the Apostle Paul, and he never got over it. When you keep reading Philippians 3, he will tell us that he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees and to what extent he was killing the church. He would describe himself later as the chief of what? Sinners. So you remember that when you read Philippians 3 and you read that he does not glory or boast or he's not proud about anything in himself, but he glories in Christ and he puts no confidence in himself. Even though he would have a right to if the flesh and human ability could accomplish anything for him, and yet he comes to verse 7 and this is what he glories in. But whatever things were gained to me, all of this privileged position, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Some of your translations read dung, excrement, literally the filth in the street, that which is thrown to the dogs. Every human ability, advantage I might have in relationship to what I need, he says, all of that is like street rubbish. What I need is the righteousness of God. I need a new hat. And so he goes on to explain it. And so that I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law or some way I can pursue righteousness, for that indeed is not righteousness at all, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Paul needs to be absolutely perfectly righteous before a holy God. And so when someone stands before the only true God of the universe, what would be their greatest treasure? Paul declares that the greatest treasure you can possibly have standing before the face of God is to be perfectly righteous. Because if you are not, you will face the eternal wrath of this only true God. And so Paul was clothed in the righteousness of Christ. That's exactly what Romans 3 says. Christ took his perfect righteousness, and like clothes, he offers to wrap us in it, giving us his righteousness, so that when the Father sees him, he sees the righteousness of Christ. And we attain this through faith. We must put our trust in Christ alone. It's not our faith that saves us. It is Christ that saves us. It is not the work of believing that saves me. It is the work of Jesus Christ that saves me. It is not my faith that saves me, but the object of my faith, Christ alone, that saves me. So it is God that stops the bank robber from being who he would be if it was left to him. And according to Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Christ again, he takes this heart of a bank robber out and puts the heart of a Christian in. And for the very first time, that bank robber's eyes now see Christ and say, that is the most valuable thing in the world to me. I want Christ. That's why Paul in Philippians 3 says, I can glory only in Christ. He is my all in all. Not in anything I have done. We sing a magnificent hymn. We even sang it last Sunday by Augustus Toplady. Rock of Ages. You know the tune. Rock of Ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin a double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. But it is the second verse that grabs our attention. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save. And thou, what's the next word of that verse? Alone. This is why Paul writes, I glory in Christ alone. For if my trust is in Christ and anything else, I have negated the grace of God and the righteousness of Christ. Or if I am indeed most idolatrous and am entrusting my soul to anything but Christ alone, there is no hope. There is no help. And it is not simply intellectual assent. Oh, I believe that stuff. That is not what Marvin articulated so wonderfully to us. When God changed Marvin's heart, notice how Marvin would explain it. I love him. I love him. I love him. That is the evidence of saving faith. Christ is not merely the right doctrine to believe in. He is the pearl of great price that we would sell anything to have him. Isn't that what Paul has just written to us? I would lose anything. I would give it all away that I might gain Christ. He is everything. And before the face of God, he is everything, the great treasure of the soul. He is the satisfaction of the human soul. He is the only true joy. As Augustine would say, he is the sovereign joy, chasing away all other satisfactions. So Paul would say, certainly we must believe in Christ alone. And then the question is asked, but how did you believe? Well, that was by the grace of God alone. No human effort on my part. I glory not in my ability, but I glory in Christ. But then the evidence of this saving faith is what Paul writes in verses 7 through 9. I would lose anything to know this Christ. He is my great treasure. If you turn to Acts chapter 9, you'll see why. Now Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, if he found any Christians, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So he's off to arrest and kill Christians. And it came about that as he journeyed, he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground. And he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. And the men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice and seeing no one. And Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were opened, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. He said, Behold, here am I. And the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call upon thy name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine. How is it that this man, the chief of sinners, killing and persecuting the church, how is it he ever came to see Christ as his sovereign joy and Savior? God stopped a wretched sinner one day and said, Not you, you're mine. Paul, meet grace. This is what it's all about. Did anyone ever have to convince Paul that he should not glory in his own flesh and ability? Paul, like every true believer knows, not by the works that my hands have done, thou hast saved, and thou alone hast saved me. This is the treasure of the God besotted. So that a beloved friend would write, the reason people do not come to the light is because they do not love it. Love for the light is not caused by coming to the light. We come because we love it. Otherwise, our coming has no honor to the light. Could there be any holy motivation to believe in Christ where there is no taste for the beauty of Christ? To be sure, we could be motivated by the desire to escape hell, or the desire to have material riches, or the desire to rejoin a departed loved one. But how does it honor the light when the only reason we come to the light is to find those things that we loved in the dark? Is this saving faith? Paul came to see the light and see Christ and say, this is a treasure that I would give anything for. He is my great sovereign joy. If you have trusted in Christ, those are the affections of your hearts. And that is why you have trusted. If you find yourself without the clothes and the righteousness of Christ, we would pray that by God's grace, He would open your eyes, show you the Christ, and grant you the grace to see that He is the greatest treasure in all the world for all of eternity. And all of the redeemed love to worship and glory over this Christ and this grace. Shall we pray together? Our Father, encourage us and help us. Strengthen our feebleness. As has been ministered to us in song, may we know that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ poured out by the grace of Christ. May we know that you are our all in all, and you meet our great need of being saved. We praise you for the grace poured out upon us in Christ, the grace poured out in ministering to all of us, and the gift of these beloved friends who show more than anything I know that there is no glorying in the flesh, but glorying only in Christ. For this we praise you. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.